We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are delighted to welcome in her honor, the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Mayor. How are you?
I'm well. Excited to be on.
Well, we appreciate you jumping on. We know you're a big sports fan, and I guess the first question is, can you do something about the weather? The Bulls need to get a free agent or two in here, and these guys are in town on the worst day of the year, for God's sake.
I know. They're like, yeah, no thanks. but we'll see what we can do to work a deal, right?
So Mayor Lightfoot, Chicago is the center of the NBA universe this weekend, and you have so many people coming to town, from celebrities to just diehard basketball fans. And for people who are visiting, what's the impression you would like this city to make on people here for the All-Star weekend?
Well, first, I want to welcome everyone and tell them to have a fun and safe weekend. But I also want people to leave recognizing that Chicago really is ground zero for all things basketball in the country. You know, Club Charter started here. We've got a long history of producing fabulous talent at every level. We've been putting people into the NBA since the NBA started. So there's a lot of rich basketball history in our city, and I just want people to understand that, enjoy themselves, because we can really put on a good show, and we will.
Yeah, I think that it's great to see the NBA here, and certainly we've seen the NFL draft come here. Chicago is great at big events. It seems like we always understand how to showcase the city and put on big events. You know, now, unfortunately, there are not many Bulls involved. I think that Zach LaVine in the 3-point shooting contest. So it's a pity that we can't show off more of the mecca of Chicago basketball by having a better basketball team. If that's
fair. Look, I grew up here and came to the city at a time when the Bulls were on their ascendancy. They were having incredible epic battles with the Bad Boys of Detroit, and then, of course, broke through. And I want people to not just remember that history, but I want us to really plant the seeds to keep homegrown talent, not only just in Chicago, but also in Illinois. We see really incredible players in the public league, both girls and boys, and then they leave Illinois and they go elsewhere. We got to give them an opportunity to stay in Chicago, stay in Illinois to really showcase that talent. And it's not a coincidence that the public league finals are going on this weekend as well.
And Mayor Lightfoot, when you came to Chicago at the University of Chicago, the law school, one of your classmates was NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. And you guys go way back. And what was the origin of that relationship, and how much have you kept in touch over the years?
Well, I knew Adam a little in law school. He was a year ahead of me. But what I remember of him then is what I know of him now, which is an incredibly smart, humble, gracious guy. I mean, he's just a really, really good person. It's been my great pleasure to reconnect with him. And I know he cares a lot about our city. And I think we're going to be able to build really, really deep relationships with the NBA. They've got a team on the ground here in Chicago year round, and who we've been connected with. And ironically, had their office at my first campaign office when I was running for mayor. So our ties go deep.
And you're also a Sox fan, I believe, a season ticket holder with the White Sox.
Long-time season ticket holder with the White Sox.
So is this finally a winning season?
Listen, I'm nervous, right? Because everywhere you go, there's this incredible excitement about the moves that the Sox have made, that they feel like this might be our year to break through. So I don't want to jinx it, but I'm very excited about the season.
I think he's trying to ask you, are you prepared to throw out the first pitch for a playoff game on the South Side?
Oh, listen, man, if that happens, I'm going to be right there cheering loudly.
And I've heard you talk about the Bears as well. You got a few ideas about how they could improve their team. I always love hearing that.
Well, you know, look, this season was brutal, and it was shocking after the success of the previous year, and it was hard to, you know, watch them really seem lost on offense. And look, our defense is great, but when you're on the field, you know, three quarters of the game, you're going to be gassed. That's just a fact of life. So I hope that we are able to get back to basics, keep Mitch in an offense that plays to his strengths. I'd like to see him rely more on the running game. But our offensive line has definitely got to do a better job. And that's obviously, as you know, that line is in transition, particularly with the retirement of Kyle Long. But our quarterback play has got to step up. And I'd like to see them make some pretty bold moves in the draft.
That's great advice. And if you have any more advice for Eddie Pinheiro, you're always welcome on Monday mornings next fall.
Well, look, I love Eddie, and you know this better than I do. Kicking, once you've got the talent, 90% of it is what's in your head.
Yep.
So he's just got to, you know, find his happy spaces then when he goes out there, and I'm sure he'll do well this season.
We've been following a lot of the different stories locally with the high school basketball stuff. There was a meeting yesterday at the Lincoln Park. Apparently, there's finally communication going on between parents and the high school about everything that has happened. As you watch this unfold, how important is that element of having parents involved with the school and explaining exactly what has gone on? And, you know, that was the real bad takeaway from this whole scandal, the idea that, you know, kids were getting bullied, parents are trying to do something about it. And, you know, and the undercurrent of the whole thing seemed to be lost within larger elements of the story.
Well, look, this was just a really set of a series of unfortunate things. It would have been bad if it was one thing, right, but it was multiple things that came to light and hit at the same time. And it shocked the school system, and I understand that. I will say I've been writing on this for a couple weeks now. I think that the actions that Dr. Jackson and Dr. McDade and their teams made to really focus on protecting our students were really commendable. Now, that's a hard pill for people to swallow sometimes, because in protecting kids, it means you don't want to re-victimize them. And re-victimizing them would absolutely come from putting too much sensitive information out for the public. And I understand that people that are not directly involved want to know all the gory details. But first and foremost, we have to protect our kids. And if you're sitting there and watching the media circus and adults speaking up about things that many times they don't know the particulars about, as a child who's been victimized, are you going to trust that environment to speak your truth and to come forward and say, hey, something happened to me? You're not going to do that. So we all need to be careful about the way that we talk about these incidents and give the professionals some space in which to work to protect our children.
Well said. And I know that we're talking to you on the weekend that we're celebrating professional basketball in Chicago. But when you look at the role that sports can play for young people, as a former high school point guard, I'm sure that you can appreciate. And what is your philosophy and how important those sports can be to providing avenues for young people?
Well, I think they can really completely change a young person's trajectory in life. You know, it's not just about winning and losing. It's about participating in a team, being disciplined, being focused, really working towards individual but also team goals. And I think this is particularly true for young girls and young women. We've got to provide more opportunities for all kids to be able to participate and follow their passion. Team sports are great. Individual sports are great. But there's lots of different ways in which we've got to reach out and make sure that we're providing opportunities for all of our young people who want it to be connected, and really emphasize how positive engaging can be for them. I don't want to see kids without any plan. I don't want to see kids hanging out aimlessly, you know, watching hours and hours of YouTube without really thinking about how they can better nurture their minds and their bodies and their spirit.
Yeah, you know, that I think we've all played sports. I mean, at least the three of us in this conversation. And I think that if it weren't for that, I'm not sure that you have the same sort of life lessons that people have to learn the hard way. There's organized sports will teach you a lot of things. When you're playing team sports in particular, you learn to get along with people. You learn to face disappointment and success and all the rest of it. And there's great value to that, I think, for anybody growing up in any town, but certainly in a place like Chicago where, you know, that we have some people living in different ways than other people live. There is economic differences among people, and I think that's a bitter pill to swallow sometimes.
No, I think you've hit the nail on the head. Sports can be the great equalizer, right? You don't need a lot of money to play a lot of sports. There are some sports, obviously, that the cost of entrance is high, but for a lot of sports, you just got to have enthusiasm and a desire to work hard, and you can be on the team. So I really can't overstate how important sports are and have been to me in my life. We've got our daughter involved in a lot of different sports, but it's just you see those kids out there competing on the field, and when you've got a great adult ecosystem around them, really the sky's the limit.
Before we let you go, and we really appreciate your time this morning, Mayor Lightfoot, what do your official duties entail this weekend? And I guess what we're trying to say is, can you get us tickets to the Jordan party?
Well, listen, man, I am running from one thing to another. Started it last night, and will conclude at the end of the game on Sunday night. If I make it to Monday morning, I'll let you know. But no, all seriousness, it's going to be a great weekend. I just want people to really enjoy the events and to be safe. This is a great time to showcase our fabulous city. Even though it's cold, it's still beautiful. And there's so many great things that are happening all over town.
Mayor Lightfoot, we've got a ton of texters that are very impressed with your sports knowledge. And I've just been handed this by my boss, Ms. Mitch Rosen. And he says, I would like to offer the mayor a contract, donate her salary to charity if she wishes to be a guest on the Mully and Haw show every Bears Monday to talk Bears.
Well, listen, I don't know if I can commit to every Monday, although I'm Monday morning quarterbacking after every Bears game. So we'll see what we can work out.
That's awesome.
We'd love to have you back.
Thanks so much, Mayor.
Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Take care now. Thanks, guys.
That is Mayor Lightfoot. That's awesome. Mitch runs in and offers her a job.
He's excited.
And the texters are very impressed.
Well, after
she knows
hearing
about
her breakdown of what's wrong with the Bears, I can see why he ran in here with that.
That's right. That's funny.
Good stuff.
That's good stuff. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you can't show off Chicago on a weekend like this, you're never going to be able to.
Well,
and I know it's cold out.
This is Chicago, though.
Oh,
that's
this is
part
the reality.
Of what it is here is that people get through winters like this, and today represents winters like the kind that we endure. So this is all part of it. It's a great city, great showcase, and she was terrific.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. A real sports fan. Always a joy to see that. You know, oftentimes people talk about sports, but they don't know whereof they speak. I think she's got a pretty good feel for it. And as one text said, wow, she's really smart.
She knows her stuff. Right.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron Santos.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Enjoyed talking to Mayor Lightfoot. Clearly a well-informed sports fan, and a lot of people checking in on that subject. We even had we had one texter suggesting that she seize control of the Bears through eminent domain.
How about that? Yeah. And I like the latest text. So yeah. No disrespect to the mayor, but it's clear that everyone knows what's wrong with the Bears except the Bears.
It's so horribly true.
It is true.
I'm totally with you.
You know what?
I don't
like?
Disagree.
No. I like that even the mayor of our city
yes.
will stand here and tell us that she's going to hold the quarterback of the Bears more accountable than the Bears are holding the quarterback of the Bears. And Mitch needs to step it up or something to that degree, she said. And she's right.
Well, you know what's funny is, you know, you hear Kyle Long talk about the Bears with Danny Parkins, and he talks about how a tight end in a running game really helps a quarterback. Why is it that everyone kind of understands what would help the quarterback, but maybe the people that are putting together the team? Why is that? It's an excellent point our texter makes.
Ask the question. Here's the answer. Because the Bears have the most to lose for him not meeting those expectations. And I think that they are the, I guess, put it another way, a better way, they have the most to gain from him coming through and being successful and having to give him every last chance. So they're going to exhaust every opportunity to try to make him succeed, because when he wins, they win. And everyone else can look at it. They don't have as much personally invested in it as Ryan Pace does.
We have many people checking in. We want to thank everyone who jumped on the text zone. It's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. So always good to hear from people. And it's always good to get some positive stuff going when we're talking about the city. And I really do wish that it was about 30 degrees warmer just for the NBA, just for the All-Star game. And I just think it's painfully cold out. And I don't – listen, if you're going to come to Chicago to play basketball, you're going to do it because you want the money and you want the legacy and all the rest of it. You're not going to worry about the weather.
Sure. And I think the idea is –
I wish it was warmer.
It's pretty cold outside today.
Yeah.
But the idea this weekend is it's supposed to warm up a little bit by Sunday, and you won't be talking about the weather on Monday morning. You'll be talking about the things that you saw, whether it's from the dunk contest, which hopefully is epic, or a three-point contest, which I think a lot of people would like to see Zach LaVine win. President Obama is in town. He's got a fireside chat on Saturday night. Jennifer Hudson is singing on Sunday before the game in a tribute to Kobe Bryant, which I think is going to be one of those moments. Shaq is DJing, yeah. Yeah.
Not that
it's
event.
Cool to see some old-time Chicago legends, if you will, in town as well. Isaiah Thomas is here. I saw Tim Hardaway. Fred Mitchell presented him an award last night. Ricky Green is in town. You see Dwayne Wade, your guy, was at Richards High School yesterday. Mm. And, of course, I'm saying that facetiously, Derrick Rose. People were lined up, hundreds of people lined up to get Derrick Rose to sign their book yesterday, his book. And that Sam Smith wrote, and you're just saying it is a celebration of all things Chicago in terms of basketball.
Yeah, and I liked
except
part of
the Bulls.
I like the message too of keeping our players in Chicago. There's a good Chicago University up by the lakefront up north that was recently in the Final Four.
Oh, that one.
That'd be a nice spot to go if you want to stay in town.
Go Ramblers!
That's it.
Loyola would be great. DePaul needs to do a better job.
I thought we had decided DePaul fixed everything.
I think I did decide that in December. I think I changed my mind when the new year arrived. I'm entitled
allowed.
To do
you
that.
You are. You can change
Although,
your mind.
Although, yeah, I people will point out when I change my mind. I can't believe what DePaul is going through right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's ugly.
That's a different topic for a different day. But, man, but the retention of the local talent, can you imagine?
No.
Can you imagine?
We've always talked about that. You know, I mean, really, when you start looking at when teams have been really good, like the Flying Illini, that was Chicago. That was Illinois, state of Illinois talent, right? So you always love to see the local guys stay local, and you always love to see, you know, what you don't want is having all our best players wind up playing for Kansas. I don't know why Kansas bothers me, but it just seems like they get too many local guys.
They do get it somehow. Maybe it's the Bill Self thing as well.
Yeah.
What might bother some people, too, is that, you know, you have on Sunday on display. Everything else that I said is valid, but Anthony Davis is going to be at the center of this game on Sunday.
Yes.
Playing in a building that is not that far from where he grew up. And he, you know, is a Chicagoan and a guy that has been at different times, you know, linked to the idea that he doesn't want to play here for the Bulls.
Right.
And if there's one player in the NBA that is,
you know,
yeah, he's a free agent next summer. I know he's going to stay with the Lakers, but that is to me, it underscores everything we're talking about. There's an acceptance level that there's no way he could come to Chicago and play for the Bulls because, well, you know what, he's playing for the Lakers.
He
doesn't want to come home.
Well,
because nobody ever does.
But you know what's weird about him? He was almost like a hidden Chicagoan. Is that a fair way to put it? He played for Prospectus Charter School.
Perspective, yeah.
Perspective. He did not play in the Chicago Public League. He didn't get a ton of attention as a high school player. It really began when it was like, oh, this guy's going to Kentucky? Who is that guy? Who's that giant that is at the airport heading to Kentucky? And then obviously winning a championship at Kentucky.
He blew late.
He did.
He was a late bloomer.
He was a late bloomer.
I think that was part of it.
And he wasn't at, like, if he had been at the house.
He wasn't Jahlil Okafor.
At Simeon or something.
You know,
yes.
Or at Simeon.
Yes.
You know, I think those are the guys that are bigger examples, bigger high school profiles.
Right.
Kind of guys that you expected to be stars because of all the notoriety they received. I can remember doing a column on Jahlil Okafor when he was a 14-year-old, offered a scholarship by DePaul. And he would go to Northwest Indiana on Saturday mornings with his father and work out in this tiny gym, work on his ball handling. And he was 14 years old. And he had a lot of attention. And so did a lot of other guys who played in the public league. But you're right. Anthony Davis sort of burst onto the scene. And all of a sudden, it's like, where did he come from?
And it's a pity because he could come here and be representative of Chicago basketball and the Mecca and all the rest of it. All he's got to do is play for the Bulls. Is that asking so much?
We'd
even take LeBron if that was the holdup.
No, you know, that's not
ship
realistic.
Them both out. We have a texter who said that we blew it. We should have asked the mayor how to fix the Bulls. She would have had good ideas on that.
Next time.
Yeah. Anthony Davis, there. We just answered our question.
There you right go. There. Hey.
That would do
make
with us,
the
Bo.
Chicagoans come home. Just force them.
That would be nice. The Kansas thing is totally Bill Self, by the way. That rubs Illini people and Chicago people wrong in many ways.
Yeah, a lot of people have checked in on that idea. And I was just leaving it out there, but bless you.
Yeah, like you said, I'm not going to make excuses. What happened, happened, and we're going to try to keep it there.
How much of it was the ball?
We'll see what ball we're playing with, right?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and we are delighted to welcome in Taylor McGregor on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Taylor is with the Marquee Network. She will be covering the Chicago Cubs. Good morning, Taylor. How are you?
Morning, Taylor.
Hey, guys. Good morning to you. I'm doing great. Excited to get this thing started. I can't believe that we're just over a week away from the first spring training game. It's exciting.
So we just heard Craig Kimbrell coming in there, and obviously when we're talking about baseball, we're talking about getting something from the bullpen. We're talking about a guy like that needing to be significantly better. How much do you think the fact that he was out of baseball for the first part of the season, how much does that affect him, and does that offer almost a pass for him heading into this year with the problems last year?
Well, yeah, I don't think he would say that it offers him a pass. I think baseball players are very routine-oriented, and it takes them a little bit to get into their routine and figure out what works for them in a season. You know, I haven't met Craig yet, but I don't believe that he would probably say, like, take blame for other things. I think, you know, he remembers the success that he had and the success that ultimately landed him in a Cubs uniform and is probably focusing more on that. And I'm excited with what I've heard about the pitch lab and how the Cubs have been able to renovate pitchers, if you will, kind of back to former states, you know, like looking at what he had been really good at and mechanical things that he had done that allowed him to be successful and using the technology that they have to get him back to that. So I wouldn't necessarily focus on, you know, being out of the game or whatnot, but just remembering the success that he had, why he ultimately landed in the Cubs uniform and get him back to that state.
Taylor, so Chicago will get to know you soon because Marquee launches in a week from tomorrow on February 22nd. But for people who aren't familiar with your story, you grew up in Colorado, and your late father was a president of the Rockies. And how did that upbringing and how did being around a baseball environment as a young girl prepare you for this career and this job that you're taking with the Cubs?
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, I grew up obsessed with the game of baseball. You know, it was all I wanted to watch and talk about. And so really it set the foundation for just a true passion of the game. You know, I was telling a friend yesterday, like I remember in college, my professors probably don't like to hear this, but, you know, I'd be in lectures watching Rockies and baseball games on my iPad because I was just infatuated by the game. So I think first and foremost, like that's what it gave me. But then two, what's allowed me to be successful in this job, I think, is the perspective that I was able to get from a very early age, you know, like hearing things and then knowing the truth because my dad was right in the middle of it, right? And so kind of, I think, being able to decipher between things that you hear and probably what's reality is what I would think has helped me the most. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that I take from my childhood. Those would probably be at the top of the list.
What's going on with Nolan Arenado? And if he's traded here for Chris Bryant, how great would that be?
Well, you know, I think you get kind of biased towards players that you watch every day. And I've watched Nolan every day for the past 2 years and beyond. Before I was even working with him, I watched him regularly. But, I mean, he is a very special talent offensively and defensively. I mean, there's a reason he's won 6 gold gloves. Like, the guy is just an absolute maniac in the field, which is so fun to watch. Now, as for what's going on with him, I wish I had answers to that. I don't, but, you know, I know he's preparing for a season, whatever uniform he's going to be in.
Taylor, why the Cubs? Why now? What was it about this job that appealed to you? Because you're leaving behind, you're in your comfort zone. You know the Rockies well. That is an organization that has been very good to you and your family. And yet here it is, the Cubs launching their own network. What was it about Marquee?
You know, first it was Chicago and the Cubs. It's a long time been a city and franchise that I've admired. And so getting the chance to work with a team that has so much history was so exciting for me. And then launching of the new network is so exciting. I think we're in this career, getting to be a part of something new is really exciting, and it doesn't come around very often. And so the thought of being a part of a network that was launching was cool. But then also when I got to know the people who were running it and the people who are going to be a part of it day to day, that was ultimately, I think, what sold me. There's just, it's going to be so awesome. And the people who are involved are innovative and creative. They're good people. And that was a huge sell for me.
What did you think of the Cubs fan convention? I know I saw you tweet out something that was quite spectacular.
Yeah, you know, that's so much fun for me to be a part of. I had never gotten to even go to Rockies Fest, so really the closest thing I had seen to a fan fest was probably back in college. I went to the University of Arkansas, and I worked for the baseball team there, and they have a little fan fest every year to kickstart the season. So that's really what I compared it to. But it was just so much fun to see the passion and the pride that the fans have. And, you know, the fact that there was so much snow on the ground that weekend and fans still came out in mass numbers and just so excited and so knowledgeable about what's going on really impressed me. And it was cool for me, too, to meet a lot of the people who I was going to be working with. It was really an exciting weekend, and I loved every second of it.
You know, you're one of the few people in Chicago watching this Cubs team that can really describe what it's like to have Tyler Chatwood pitch well, because he was a good pitcher for the Rockies. So maybe that gives you insight that that we don't share right now. But when you look at Tyler, when you look at that pitching staff, what do you expect from the Cubs this season, and especially the pitchers?
Well, yeah, you know, here in Colorado, I think I've learned one thing for sure. This game begins and ends with pitching, right? Like, I mean, in Colorado, we've had talent in the field for years, but the successful seasons that they've had here all depend on how good the pitching is. So it's incredibly important. And again, I'm really excited to see the use of this technology. I mentioned this off the top, but with the pitch lab, like, you look at the ERA of the bullpen of the Cubs the past 3 years, and although it's been in the high leverage situations, not the success they would have wanted, like, they've still been able to help guys figure out what's going on and get them back to times when they've been successful, or help them harness tools that will get them to that level of success that they desire. So I think it's going to be interesting to kind of see what they can do with Tyler Chatwood and, you know, build upon the success of a Yu Darvish last season. And then Kyle Hendricks, of course, you know, his 2017 season, and look back at those times and find that blueprint and try to bring that out this year. And I'm always excited when I see the use of that technology kind of come to fruition. And that's what I'm kind of relying on and the hope that I have when I look at that pitching staff is, okay, well, you know, what's going to happen? And I get excited. I think there is going to be some success that we aren't talking about now, but, you know, middle of the season, we'll look back and be like, wow, like, that's awesome that he was able to kind of get back to something that made him successful in the past.
The Marquee Network is launching in just over another week here. What can we expect from it? Have you, you know, do you know what the sets are going to look like? Have you guys been, you know, we know the offices are up and running. What should we expect?
Oh yeah, the sets are second to none. I got to see them when I was out for Cubs convention, and man, they're beautiful. It's going to be, you're going to love it, I think. Just super cool. And then the shows that they're put together, just the roundtable shows and, you know, the programming that they'll have outside of games is going to be phenomenal. I know on launch day they're going to air an Ernie Banks documentary. And so just Cubs-centric programming like it's never been done before. Just 24/7 Cubs, I think, is what you can expect.
The lineup of analysts is pretty impressive. I mean, the Marquee Network had a better offseason than the Cubs roster themselves.
Oh, man.
I mean, with Pinella and DeRosa and
Gracie.
Mark, we heard from Gracie the other day on the station. Taylor, and do you know most of these guys? Did you meet them for the first time at the convention? How exciting is that?
Yeah, I mean, I knew of them all, obviously. I had met some guys. I interned at MLB Network back in college, and so I had met a lot of them as an intern. I don't really think they remembered me, but I was like, hey, remember that annoying intern who used to ask you questions? Yeah, that was me. So I'm really excited for what all of those guys are going to bring. And I think it's so cool when you look at the lineup, you know, what each of them are going to bring, because it's going to be something new and exciting every single night, and the perspectives. You know, whether it's the generation that they played in or the position that they held, and then the position that they hold currently, you know, like, everybody's going to bring a unique perspective, which is what I'm really excited about, kind of a fresh eyes on the game each night, and fresh analysts kind of rotating throughout the season. I think it's going to be really cool.
We had Crane Kenny on, was it a month ago, maybe longer? He, of course, the Cubs president of business operations, and he said that he was calling up the cable companies and asking if they were getting Marquee, which I thought was hysterical, because there's still a question of whether or not it's going to be on Comcast. Do you have any knowledge of how universal this is going to be for our listeners?
You know, I don't. That's a little above my pay grade, but I will tell you, I do know that they are working tirelessly to get a deal done.
So we'll put you
deals
on the spot.
Done,
yeah.
So before we let you go, we'll put you on the spot. Do you think Nolan Arenado opens the season in a Colorado Rocky uniform?
I do. I do think he opens up the season in a Colorado uniform.
What about Chris Bryant in a Cubs uniform?
You know, I'm going to say yes to that. Do I think he opens the season in a Cubs uniform? I do. I really do.
Excellent.
So what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think we're on board with you.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's going to be difficult to move him before opening day, so they'll probably go into the season and look at the trade deadline as maybe the next big deadline. So if you get to know Chris Bryant, I think you'll like him, because he is a guy that is the same guy every day.
And I also I also think we just assured that he'll be traded this weekend.
Yes, yes. That'll come back on Monday morning after he's traded over the weekend.
Yeah.
Just because we said
exactly. That's how life works, right? Taylor, thank you a ton. Great catching up with you. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. It was awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. That's Taylor McGregor, Marquee Network, Cubs reporter. You're going to get to know her quite a bit. You'll see her all the games and it'll be fun.
Interesting background with Colorado and kind of growing up in the organization.
Knowing the game always helps.
Knowing the game, knowing how to deal around that environment and kind of that's important. You know, when you're around clubhouses a lot, you just kind of there are times to approach and times to retreat, and you kind of have to know when is when.
There's a definite feel to it. When will I learn that? That's the question. No, there are some guys just very awkward, and by guys I mean, you know, reporters that just don't understand where the break is, and it gets kind of ugly sometimes. So you got to make sure that you know what you're where you're welcome, where you're not.
She comes to Chicago with some bona fides, and
she's
I think that's
experience.
Important. And and I think that, you know, you just want to sound she's been on the station before. She's pretty authentic and a lot of enthusiasm, and that's a good place to start.
All right, we're going to bring in Dan and Connor, and then I think we get the weekend off, if I'm not mistaken. But first, we speak to them. Mully and Hall on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.